I want you to look again with me this morning, verse 5. You see a very familiar picture here in the wonderful book we know as the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth, and there she brought thee forth that bare thee. Most of you here this morning, I think, are well aware that the book of Solomon concerns four major characters. There is the bride, there is the groom, there are the bridegroom's friends, and there are the bride's friends. And of course, as an Old Testament picture of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 5, and other texts, the Song of Solomon illustrates a number of New Testament truths in a unique, powerful, and very beautiful way. In this case, a bride. We believe picturing the bride of Christ and her groom are traveling out of this wilderness. And this journey from the wilderness all the way to the king's palace is not without its challenges. It is not without its obstacles. Any pilgrimage through any wilderness would call for perseverance and patience on the pilgrim. And so it is that the bride in our text is presented as coming up from the wilderness with the use of a singular verb. She is leaning, the Bible says, leaning upon her beloved. Twice in the Gospels, the Father speaks audibly from heaven. On both of those occasions, he refers to Christ Jesus as, quote, his beloved Son. Later in John's Gospel, it is that same apostle who is in fact leaning. The Scripture says he was leaning upon the beloved Son of God. As a reminder, just as we read in the Song of Solomon, that the king is also a shepherd. That Christ, who is God, also became flesh, a man. And as he journeys with us through the wilderness of this world, we too should be seen by others so that they would say, who is this? And we should be seen by others as the bride of Christ, leaning, necessarily and wisely upon our beloved. Our Father, we pray that we will understand the power of this illustration, the truths of your word, and the importance of understanding what it means to lean not on our own understanding. I pray, God, that every person in this room, including myself, will listen and heed and hear the Holy Spirit of God. We'll leave this place knowing that there was a reason why we came to the house of God. Speak to us, please, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things I want us to consider this morning from the Song of Solomon, and specifically with reference to the bride who is traveling from the wilderness while leaning upon her beloved. The first thing I want you to notice, number one, is a lesson about dependence. I think there's an obvious lesson about trust. Again, the picture in this text is of a young bride who is traveling, who is walking, journeying, and all the while she is leaning, as the observers noticed around her, she is leaning upon her beloved. It is an unmistakable picture of genuine dependence. You see, to lean requires one person to take their own weight and throw it upon another person. It is the simplest form of trust, and a wonderful reminder today that it is the wisdom of God, and it is not the wisdom of man that is worthy of all of our plans and our hopes and our dreams and our desires. Beloved, I don't have to tell you, I don't think, that we are living in a world today that is truly adrift at sea. Now, I think it's always been that way. Obviously, it has, but perhaps now in 2011, 21st century, with all of man's so-called advancement and higher education and technology and prideful enlightenment, perhaps after generations now of man's self-reliance yielding so much bitter fruit in the world, in other words, we've progressed so far that progressives look back and say, what have we done? And it's not a whole lot. It's a bitter fruit. Perhaps it's just more evident today just how adrift this world really is. You know, the world really doesn't have a lot of answers. I don't know what you're leaning on this morning for your future, for your hope, for your family, for your children. You know, 25 million Americans are unemployed or underemployed as I speak. But what is happening in our country? The NBA employs less than 450 players, about the number of people in this auditorium right now, and they are in a labor dispute. The season is already two weeks or so delayed. Think about that. The average NBA player makes $5.1 million a year. That's average. $5 million a year, let's be honest, for a game. I remember 7 years ago when Latrell Sprewell didn't like his three-year, $21 million contract extension. He was asked about it by the media, and he said, "It's not enough. I've got a family to feed." LeBron James made $48 million last year, and the Miami Heat lost. Kobe Bryant made $53 million. They are in a labor dispute. Over at Wall Street, there are super rich entertainers like Kanye and Russell Simmons and Tim Robbins and Michael Moore. And they're over there and they are protesting rich people who aren't nearly as wealthy as they are. But they're upset. They're frustrated. And they have no answers. Over at the UN, that's the United Nations, if you didn't know. There are terrorist nations like Iran that call the only peaceful nation in the Middle East terrorists. And what's worse, the UN Security Council will agree and vote to that same thing. This is the same UN Security Council that has as a permanent member the nation of Red China. That makes me feel much more secure. The question is, what is this world leaning on? What have they been leaning on? The question for us this morning is, what are we really leaning on? Who do we trust? Pastor, I trust myself. I trust my spouse. Like the widow sitting in the park with a friend. They were talking. She said, "You know, I've been married three times. My first husband, rest his soul, died eating poison mushrooms." I said, "Oh, that's tragic. What happened to your second?" She said, "Well, he died eating poison mushrooms as well." That sounded kind of suspicious. So she cautiously asked, "How did your third husband die?" And she said, "He had a fall and broke his neck." And her friend was actually a little relieved by that. And she said, "So sad, what happened?" She said, he wouldn't eat his mushrooms. You know, in this changing and drifting and darkened world, I mean, to a degree, yes, you lean on your loved ones. To a degree, you may lean on fellow believers. What are you really leaning on? What do you trust? We sing that wonderful hymn. It's based upon Deuteronomy 33:27 that says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." So the hymn based upon that says, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms." You see, folks, just like the Shulamite woman, we don't know precisely where the path is leading at the end of this year and the beginning of another year. We don't know exactly where this road is leading. We don't know where our steps will lead even tomorrow. But you know what? The bridegroom does. The shepherd king, he does. He's leading her up out of the wilderness, and she is leaning. We mentioned Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." In other words, leaning is not necessarily a good thing unless you're leaning on the right thing, unless you're leaning on the right person. Someone once said, "You cannot break God's promises by leaning on them." So very true. But you can easily break the promises of man by leaning on those. I've been reading a lot about the comments from those protesters up there in New York City, Wall Street, Chicago, and Boston. And in reading them and listening to them, I've kind of realized they all have one thing in common. They are frustrated. They are angry. There's no question. It's a sincere anger. But I've noticed in listening, they all have one thing in common. They were all promised something. Specifically, about 3 years ago, that hasn't happened. Number one, they were promised that the war in Iraq would end and no further wars would begin. Number two, they were promised unemployment under 8%. Number three, they were promised better relations with Russia and our Muslim nations. Number four, they were promised that all healthcare negotiations would occur under television camera and be televised. Number five, they were promised zero lobbyists employed in the administration. Number six, they were promised a post-racial America. Number seven, they were promised energy independence through green technology. Number eight, they were promised unparalleled education opportunities. Number nine, 10, 11, 12, they were promised hope and change and yes, we can, and free health care and fairness in distributing people's wealth and so much more. And none of these so-called promises have happened. And folks, if you're sitting out there this morning and you're wondering, Pastor, if we were all in this country promised these things, why aren't we all protesting? It's very simple. Not everybody was leaning on those promises, but those people were. They were leaning on a man. And you know, folks, hearing or reading or watching promises is one thing. Leaning on those promises is something different altogether. I'm reminded of something the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. And by the way, I don't care who the president is, if he's Republican or a Tea Party candidate, in the next election, you should not be leaning upon that man. You should be leaning upon your beloved. I remember, many of you will remember, when Governor Ventura, Jesse Ventura, he once declared that religion was a crutch for weak-minded people. People were outraged by that. I thought it was funny. A man who was in the WWF, talk about a crutch for weak-minded people. When he said that, I thought to myself, in all the midst of the outrage, actually, for many people, religion is a crutch. He's right. But ladies and gentlemen, Christ is not a religion. The Lord Jesus is a person. He is our Savior, the wonderful Counselor, the Captain of my salvation. He is Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, and yes, Jesse Ventura, I lean on Him as the author and the finisher of my faith. Not nearly as much as I should, but I lean on Him. Leaning on the Beloved, it is, number one, a message of dependence. You do realize that people said in verse 5, who is this? They were observing, they were watching. Do you know that the people out there in the world ought to see you leaning on one person alone and say, who is this? It's coming out of the wilderness, my wilderness, our dark world, leaning on Beloved. The second thing I want you to notice is that number two, it is a message of devotion. It's not just dependence. Again, verse 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved, I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. In other words, here's the picture. The bride is leaning upon her beloved. Her beloved. Note that important word. This is not a metaphor for ritual. This is not a metaphor for tradition or dead orthodoxy or orthopraxy. This is not religion. Folks, this is a relationship. The entire Song of Solomon is about a relationship, a one that includes precious memories of the past. So the last part of verse 5 says, I raised thee up under the apple tree. This is a recollection of the beginnings of a life and a love that was found in the shadow of the apple tree back in chapter 2. Look back in chapter 2. Here's what they were referring to. Look at verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. In other words, look, folks, we're not called to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ just for protection, just for wisdom, just for favor, so that our business prospers. It is not always about us. 1 John 4:19 says we love him. We love him because he first loved us. Whom having not seen, ye love, the Apostle Peter said. Why do we love him? Do you know what the shepherd king did to show his love for this bride in Solomon? It says in our text, who is this that cometh up what? From the wilderness. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wilderness. And without Christ, we were, all of us, in the wilderness, hopeless and aimless and fruitless. In fact, the entire metaphor reminds me of Paul's testimony in Ephesians 2. I remember when he writes, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires and of the flesh and the mind, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Folks, let's face it. Without Christ, we were and would still be in the wilderness. 6:30 this morning, I drove Rick to the airport. He's flying out to California. And on the way down, we noticed a couple of policemen on the PGA overpass looking over and down onto I-95. Didn't know what it was, didn't think much of it, but then I was just coming back to Jupiter. I noticed at the same spot, this time, many emergency vehicles. As I got up close to it, I noticed all these emergency workers and police standing up against a median. And we had to drive slowly, and there, in the road, still lying, was a man's body covered with a tarp. I immediately thought to myself, and I prayed. There was some mother's little boy at one time, some son, somebody's schoolmate, perhaps a brother, a husband, a veteran. Most importantly and hopefully, I thought to myself, a believer in Jesus Christ. But I didn't know, and I thought, as you would think, I wonder what happened. Did he fall? Did he jump? Was he thrown? I thought to myself, but by the grace of God, that would be me, or somebody that I love, or somebody that you love. But by the grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, and the mercy of his beloved Son, all of us in this room would be wandering and lost in this wilderness of the world that Paul calls the children of wrath. We would all still, to this day, be the children of wrath. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Does anybody remember what it was to be spiritually blind in the wilderness? As the scripture says, not having ears to hear. How many people have you seen like that? They are blind. They see things around them. They are afraid. They hear truth and they do not comprehend it. It goes in. It's like the little boy was milking a cow on the farm, farmer's son. He suddenly noticed a fly go right in the cow's ear. A couple minutes later, still milking, the fly came out, squirted right in the bucket. His mother saw it in the milk. She said, "What happened?" The boy said, "It went in one ear and out the udder." You know what? Honestly, you know what I've noticed about so many of these protesters? I hate to harp on them, but I've been reading a lot and seeing it and watching it, and you have. And Rick keeps sending me videos as well on email. Whenever they hear any semblance of truth, when they hear it, when they hear a single statement of common sense or reason, it goes in one ear and instantly out the other. And such, Paul says, were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you and I. Now you can see, ladies and gentlemen, why the bride is leaning on her beloved. He is bringing her up out of a wilderness. And the love and the gratitude and the love of Christ ought to constrain us. This is the mercy of God. I mentioned earlier one of the stanzas to the hymn we've referred to. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. It does. lean on him for guidance. But you know, the other stanza says this: what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, what a blessedness. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Say, Pastor, fellowship, yes. Yes. Understand, beloved, that you're going to lean on someone. And as a child of God, you are not going through this world alone. If you lean on someone, in order to lean on them, you have to be close to them. Do you know that God wants you to be close to him? Christ wants you to be close to him. And the Lord did not lead us out of the wilderness just to win and redeem your mind. He led you out to reconcile and redeem your heart. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, she says. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Titus 3:4 says, after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, whereby according to his mercy he has saved us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, folks, the only reason that he brought you and me out of the wilderness and is leading us into the king's palace is because he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not ritual, it's not religion, it is a person. And it is a relationship. You know, there was nothing good about you. There was nothing good about me in the wilderness when Christ came and saved me. The bride is leaning on her beloved. She loves him and she knows him. It is a message of dependence. It is a message of devotion. Number three, I want you to notice it is also a message of deliverance. Look again at our text, would you? In verse 5. It says, who is this that cometh up? Notice the word up. From the wilderness. It says in verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart and as a seal upon thine arm. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what the seal was referring to in this text? It is a reference to the ancient equivalent of a wedding band as a seal of love and marriage. It's a signet. It was either worn around the neck and thus over the heart, or on the hand of the groom's right arm. And of course, by expressing this desire, while leaning upon that very arm, the bride is saying, I not only trust the Shepherd King, I not only love the Shepherd King, but I belong to the Shepherd King. And you know something, beloved? That is deliverance. The scripture always says, when it talks about our salvation and being delivered by the Redeemer, being redeemed, it always talks about it in terms of what you once were, children of wrath, children of Satan, children of darkness. You were in bondage. I was in bondage at one time. She is being set free from this wilderness. This is freedom in a world of bondage, because you know whose you are and whom you are. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord. My Lord, so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I mentioned a moment ago, one of the more important of the words in the text is the word up. Verse 5 says, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Up, which is always the direction for a child of God who follows and serves his Lord and his Master. The Christian life, beloved, is an ascent. We are going somewhere. We are going out of wilderness, up into the palace of the King. And yes, there is a seal. There is a seal and a signet that shows that the relationship is settled. It is done. The great transaction is done. The Bible says, therefore, grow in grace, not into grace, but grow in grace. This growth, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Folks, it's wonderful to know that in a declining society, and make no mistake, America is in decline because the entire world is in decline, and it should take nobody by surprise. It's written in the Word of God. But in a declining society, it's nice to know there's higher ground that our Lord is leading us to. That is the freedom of serving Christ. I wonder this morning if that's your attitude. Are you status quo as a child of God? Hey, I know this much. I go to church this often. Now I'm making money, trying to get by. Status quo. I'm just right here as a child of God, and I'm good with that. That is not the picture in this text. That is not the picture in the New Testament. It's like a little boy. You ask him how old he is, he'll say, I'm going on six. I'm five, but I'll be six in 3 months. I'm eight, going on nine. I'm 11. I'm almost 12. You know why they do that? They long and look for that higher level. That ought to be the spirit of every child of God. Where are you in your faith? I'm here, but I'm going here. I'm here, but I want to be here. I'm going to go forward with the bridegroom. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts and fears arise in dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Is that your prayer? Is that your aim? Higher ground. Who is this? The observers out there should say. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? You know, that's the question that ought to be on people's minds when they look at you, because you're growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why are you leaning on Him? I'm leaning on Him as He takes me up and out of this wilderness, because I trust Him, because I love Him, because I belong to Him, and therefore I serve Him. Dependence, devotion, and deliverance. What about you this morning? Most of you in this room are Christians, obviously. I admonish you to rededicate yourself as part of His bride to going forward, leaning, not on your wisdom, leaning, not on Washington, D.C., leaning not on your portfolio, your education, but leaning on the everlasting arms. That's the only thing you can lean on that will not disappoint you. You're a Christian today, right? How much are you leaning? How much are you leaning because you love Him? Because you depend upon Him? Because you trust Him? How much are you leaning because you're grateful that He has brought you out of the wilderness? How strong is your desire to go to higher ground as a child of the living God, not satisfied with where you are in your faith, in your compassion, in your love, in eradicating jealousy and envy and greed and covetousness? The just shall live by faith. It's that simple. It's leaning. It's completely leaning in Christ. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you today for your word, and thank you that there is one beloved, that there is your beloved Son, and that there is only one upon whom we should be leaning with all of our trust and our hopes, our eternity, our future, our present. May others see our faith, our dependence, our devotion. May they see our deliverance and say, who is this? Why is this person different? Why are they leaning upon her beloved? For these vast of prayer, Lord, speak to their hearts. Help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.